ShareCare, helping you find experts, the top minds in health and medicine. It's ShareCare Radio with Dr. Daria Long Gillespie on RadioMD.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Daria, and we're back with Dr. Mehmet Oz, renowned heart surgeon and TV personality. We've been discussing our predictions based on this past year of the biggest health trends we expect for 2015. We've gone over preventive medicine and superbugs. Another topic I want to talk about that we've heard a fair amount of this year, but I think, Dr. Oz, we're going to be hearing more about it, are the roles of cancer screening, detecting cancer before a patient is even symptomatic. We've heard a lot of debates from different organizations. What's your opinion on some of these hottest topics?
The interesting thing about cancer is everybody can hear my voice right now probably has cancer. Thankfully, it's just one or two cells, and your immune system realizes that these are bad guys and knocks them out. So these sociopathic killers can't prosper in your body. So the ability to do things to prevent them in the first place is, of course, worth discussing. You know, things like leafy green vegetables, cruciferous vegetables, there's some spices, herbs, lifestyle shifts that do seem to make a significant difference in the incidence of just regular old cancers. I'm not talking about the sort of obvious things like, not smoking cigarettes. I'm talking about, more subtle things we can do day in and day out. But then the question becomes, what happens when every once in a while one of these bad boys escapes from your immune system for whatever reason? Maybe a virus led to their proliferation. Maybe you're exposed to a toxin you didn't realize. Maybe the nutritional content of what you're getting in wasn't quite right for your body, and you fall prey to a cancer that's beginning to thrive. The reality for most people is that if you catch these cancers early, you can cure them. And even the cancers we thought used to be silent killers, like ovarian cancer, because once we discovered it, it was so far spread usually, they're not really silent. They're whispering cancers. They'll sort of hint to you that they're there if you know what to listen for. And so a lot of opportunities exist now, both exploring opportunities for people to understand the symptoms better, but also testing, screening that can be very valuable. I mean, the classic example, the iconic example, is the pap smear, where you can scrape some of the cells off the cervix, and you could identify cells that were damaged by the HPV virus. We didn't know there was the HPV virus, one of these when this smear was first discovered and identified in the 50s as a possibility. But, these technologies now have become routinely available, and yet women sometimes, men too, don't get these tests done in a timely fashion.
It's true. But I also think it's confusing because our consumers may hear different opinions from different organizations. For cervical cancer, at least, there is an agreement that you need to have your pap smear every 3 years, but now that's been moved to starting at age 21. There's still disagreement there about who needs to have the manual pelvic exam. And I think we're definitely going to be hearing more about that this year. Moving on to talk about breast cancer. Again, that's an area that we've seen two different organizations fall heavily on two sides of the mammography line, especially in women in their 40s. What do you tell your viewers about this?
There's two kinds of people in the world when it comes to breast cancer management. They're the folks who figure, I'm going to do everything I can. Don't waste my time telling me about possibilities, since I'm making my best effort anyway. Just tell me if I got a real problem. And then the other folks say, gosh, I don't want to have any problems at all. Who knows if I'm doing the right thing? Just learn as early as possible. And so I can start to get proactive. And so depending on what kind of person you are, you have different recommendations. By the numbers, and again, the U.S. Task Force, this is a agency that reports to the U.S. government, but it's not the government's. It's scientists who are doing their best to figure out the right answers. They've argued that there's no point in pushing people to get breast exams, mammography, prior to age 50, because there's so many false positives. In other words, people who are completely normal who are told they might have something wrong. Then they're having biopsies and then more aggressive procedures done, really for problems that weren't going to cause them an issue. Yes. And now that's the official recommendation of the U.S. Task Force. But many organizations, including breast cancer groups, mammography groups, are arguing that, my goodness, why would you give up the opportunity to use the best test we have right now to help women identify if they've got a breast cancer early enough in life that it might make a difference? My personal philosophy and what we do in our family is start doing them at age 50. And we do because we realize that the false positives are a major problem. We do everything we can already to reduce the chance of these cancers occurring and progressing aggressively. And I'm not sure that all the people who are diagnosed early are saved either. So if you add all the numbers up, you sort of have to agree with what the U.S. Task Force recommended. But I don't want viewers thinking or being bullied into one or the other. Figure out your personality. You have the option. You have the choice. pick what makes sense, but pick one and then do it. And I do think getting a baseline mammogram exam in your 40s does make sense. Just get one so you know what your normal is. So if it changes 10 years from then, you'll be able to pick it up more readily.
Well, having a baseline is something so useful in medicine, whether it's a patient EKG, x-ray, mammogram, it's always helpful to go back and say, did this change? And you're right. Even the USPTF says, the Preventive Task Force says that every woman in between the age of 40 and 49 should have a discussion with their doctor to really understand the pros and the cons and their own personal risk benefits. So those are also
And Dr. Daria, if I can add to that, the one area where I think a lot of physicians will agree is the value of a self-exam. Most young women find these tumors on their own in your shower, you know. So, you know, once a month, same time every month, lather up till your hands will slip over your breasts and then gently massage your breasts and look for any abnormalities. You'll know your breasts better than anybody else. So if something looks and feels different, at least have that evaluated.
And that's especially true. You're so right, especially in women in their 30s and 40s when the breast cancer tend to spread much more rapidly than they could in their 60s and 70s. Even if you're getting an annual mammogram, the growth of that cancer could happen within the interval between mammograms. So really important, again, know your body, do your own exams. I love that you emphasize that point. I want to move on to our very last one, and that is the role of sugar and trying to cut back on it. You know, obviously, you try to advocate, and you spoke earlier about minimizing the amount of sugar that we have in our lives. What do you tell your viewers about how to do it and why?
If I had to pick one food group, and I'd have to demonize any, but one food group that is hard to justify in terms of the amount we're taking in, it's sugar. If you're getting sugar in the course of a regular meal, you're having an apple, it has sugar, I'm okay with that because it comes with fiber, multiple different kinds of sugar mixed together. But you get these, you know, very concentrated, especially high fructose corn syrup, put in soda pop, et cetera. You're really creating a metabolic crisis for your body. It's an away game. Your body doesn't quite know how to metabolize these sugars. They come in such high doses. They stress the hormones out. You end up with a fat deposition in the liver, and you're putting yourself at risk for, including being overweight, lots of other health problems. So the question then becomes, why can't you stop? Well, sugar affects us in a very profound way. It's sort of addictive. And because of that, we can't just stop taking it. You have to wean yourself off it a little bit. And do not trust artificial sweeteners. They do the opposite. They, you know, they remind you, because they're so sweet, you're often 200 times sweeter than sugar, that there's sweetness out there that to be had if you can go look for it. And remember, our ancestors always craved sugar because we could never find it in the wild. So get your sugar through regular sources, fruits in particular. Slowly cut back on any added sugars. And if you just start there, for the vast majority of Americans, you'll be in pretty good shape. It's more difficult than it sounds because so many of the foods that we eat, especially if we go out for a fast food, will have sugar added because people who are selling them to us know we like sugary things. But give it a shot.
Yeah, it's so true. It is in so many things that we eat. But first, trying to eliminate it, at least, as you mentioned, in those things where sugar is just in isolation, that can of, you know, soda, all that is there is sugar. It's not mixed with any protein or fiber or anything else. And really, that would probably be the low-hanging fruit to try to get rid of in one's diet.
And the other thing, of course, with sugar in general is if you keep it around the house, the whole family is going to have it. If you don't have it in the house, no one can find it. So therefore, they'll get stuck eating the things that happen to be good for them. You know, the carrots that are sort of sweeter. After a while, they'll think broccoli is sweet. And you'll see your taste buds begin to shift. We talk about these three-day detoxes in part because you can't do much harm to yourself in 3 days, even if you do the detox wrong. But at least you've rebooted your taste buds. So they're not quite so expecting of sugar and salt as well.
Well, the studies have shown sugar really does alter your brain chemistry. It alters your taste buds, as you mentioned, and really causes you to your body to crave it and to want more of it. And when you want more again, then you get that crash at the end and the bad health consequences internally and also externally, even in your skin. So hopefully, possibly I've heard the FDA may be changing some food labels to make it easier for people to understand how much they're eating and to try to avoid it. So Dr. Oz, again, I want to thank you so much for coming on, helping us talk about what we can expect to hear more of in this year and really prepare ourselves for it. Really fascinating, and we can't wait to see what 2015 has in store. This is Dr. Daria. You're listening to Share Care Radio. Thanks for listening, and stay well.